1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll look at some verses briefly. I got good news for you. I'm not a long preacher. Amen. So it's very likely, I can't guarantee you, it's very likely we might get over before 4 o'clock. Amen. But I don't guarantee anything. Amen. My wife said, amen. That's the first time I've ever seen. Oh, before 5 o'clock. No. Oh, yeah, 5 o'clock. Not 4 o'clock. I'm not going to make it. Amen. All right. Once you found your place, we're in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians. If you'll stand out of reverence for God's word. And we'll read two verses. This time we'll read it together. If you don't mind reading with me, we'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we'll read verses 12 and 13 together. And then after that, we'll pray. All right. Once you found your place, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's read verses 12 and 13. Let's begin. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you, thankful, Father, for your goodness to each one of us. Thank you, Father, for the faithfulness of your people. Thank you, Father, for even these visitors that determined to be in your house this evening. Father God, I pray for each one of us that you would give us a blessing, give us something from your word that will help us to better serve you, and that will help us, Lord God, that we might be pleasing in your sight. Father, I pray that you'll bless your word and bless these truths to our hearts, your people, Father. Lord God, we know that without you, that what we do is in vain. So, Lord God, we're asking your blessings and your presence even in this message, Father. Lord, we ask it in Christ's precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Let me read these verses one more time. Verse number 12 says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, what does it say? Lest he fall. And then he goes on to tell you about temptation and the promise that God gives to every believer in verse number 13. Many have it memorized. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is what? Faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. One thing I've noticed about your pastor over the years, amen, is he's nervous now, amen. He's looking around, amen. He has faithfully served, and he served with a good spirit, amen. I've met people who are still in the ministry, but over the years they tend to get, like, it looks like they're sucking on lemons, and it looks like they're mad about something, and you can just see. And even though they go through the routine of doing what's right, maybe preaching, and they go through the routine, over the years they get a little bit more bitter, they get a little bit more sullen, they get a little bit more down. Even though they're doing right, even though they're staying in the fight, they've gotten bitter over the years, and that's not something that I've seen in your pastor. Amen? He's just as happy as the day that I first met. He used to be a little sillier, but he still has that joy for the Lord. And another thing I see is a faithfulness. I've known pastors, I've known missionaries, I've known men of God who started out right, but they didn't finish right. I've known church members that were the most faithful church members in a church maybe that we go to visit, and went out knocking on doors with somebody and a soul winner, and they loved the Lord and was talking about how good the Lord was. And then I go back, 4 years later, and I say, where's brother so-and-so? Oh, he doesn't come anymore. He goes to another church? No, he doesn't go to any church. He's not doing what's right. Pray for him. And boy, it just amazes me, and I think to myself, how is it possible, as someone that loves the Lord, someone who's trying to do what's right, how is it possible that they could find themselves in a state like that? And I figured out pretty quickly, it can happen to any of us. Any one of us. No doubt, you came here on a Sunday night, amen. you're like maybe the core of the church. I don't know for sure, but most likely you're the core of the church. You're probably the most faithful. You're those that have sacrificed, that help. You're those that are here trying to do what's right. But even in among the core of the church, it's possible to give in to temptation. It's possible in 1 year, in 2 years, it's possible in 2 months, in 3 months, that you'll not be in the place that you ought to be. And that all comes because of temptation. We are in a very dangerous spot when we get to the point where we say, that might happen to him, it might happen to her, but that will never happen to me. You're on dangerous ground. Because each and every one of us has a flesh. And we've got that flesh that's constantly pulling us all the time to do what's wrong. It's constantly pulling us to make compromises. Constantly pulling us towards a temptation that you and I ought not to participate in. And so he starts out this verse number 12. He says, wherefore take heed. Wherefore let him take that thinketh he stand, take heed, lest he fall. I believe that that's not just to the church at Corinth. I believe that's to Gospel Light Baptist Church. Amen. I believe that's to Iglesia Bautista Biblica in Mexico. Amen. I believe that's to every child of God. We ought to take heed lest we fall. But the promise comes in verse number 13. If you want to look there in your Bibles, it says, concerning the temptation, it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. You're saying everybody's gone through temptation. You think, well, that's only coming to my mind. That's only coming, it's something that I'd battle with. Well, I can just about guarantee you that every temptation has fallen upon almost everyone. It says there that it's common to man. But then you look at our promise that we have from God's word in verse number 13. It says, but God is faithful. Amen. We're not alone. God is faithful. And that moment of temptation, when it comes, and it could be in this week that's coming up in your life, that temptation is going to pop up there, and you're going to be confronted by some temptation to do wrong or to do right, to go with the flow or to take a stand, and that temptation is going to come, and I pray that this message will come back to your mind. Amen? Because the Bible says in that moment, you have to remember one thing, God is faithful. You're not alone. You're not sure. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you know at the moment that you got saved, you received all of the Holy Spirit that you're ever going to get. Amen. There are some people that are just waiting, I'm going to get more of the Holy Spirit in the future. No, in the moment you got saved, you received all of the Holy Spirit that you're ever going to get. It's not a matter of how much of the Spirit that you're going to get. It's how much of you is the Holy Spirit going to get. Right? It's us battling with that flesh constantly. But one thing we got to remember is the Bible here says that God is faithful. And then he says the promise is that he will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear. I want to look at some practical things. Sometimes a pastor or a preacher will just say, you need to get the victory over temptation. And that's good. And without a doubt, we ought to get the victory over temptation. But practically, how do we do it? Give me some steps, Brother Brian, of how to overcome the temptation. What is it in the moment when that temptation comes along? And I can just about guarantee you it'll come along. Right? Amen. How many have been saved for more than a year? More than a year. Raise your hand if you've been saved for more than a year. Amen. All right. How many have been saved for more than 6 months? Raise your hand. Amen. Should be the same people plus a little bit more. Amen. Amen. I can just about imagine in the time that you've been saved, you understand one thing. Although we're children of God, that does not mean that the devil has stopped attacking. If anything, he attacks more. If anything, the pressure is greater. Now, he can't take your salvation, amen? But he can take your joy. He can take your blessings. He can take the things that God wants to do with your life and beautiful things prepared for your life, and he can cast them down to the ground because we give in to a moment of temptation. So how is that? I'm just going to look at a few things real briefly. In the moment of temptation, what are things that we ought to do so that we can get that victory? Number one is we need to realize that that temptation is actually an opportunity. It's an opportunity to shine for the Lord. Amen? Number one, realize this opportunity. If you would go with me over to Matthew chapter 5, please. Matthew chapter 5. And probably this should be the last point, because to me it's my favorite part. Amen. It's not the last point. Those that got excited. Well, he's almost done. Amen. I'm not that short. Amen. But I love this, because the temptation that you and I experience, when it comes up, you say, oh, I don't want to face temptation. I don't want to go through that. Do you understand that that's an opportunity to show your love for the Lord? Amen. Look with me at Matthew chapter 5. Look, if you would, at verse number 16. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 16. It says here, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. There it says, let your light so shine that what? That they might see your good works and turn around. And they're not going to glorify you. They're not going to look at you and say, wow, look at what a great person this is. The goal of the child of God is that they might see our good works and turn around and glorify who? God. That they would glorify our Father which is in heaven. You understand that when that temptation comes, you don't have to give in to it. Amen. You've got the power of God. If you're saved by the grace of God, you've got the power. Now listen, if you come here and you say, I'm not even sure that I'm saved. I'm not even sure there's ever been a time in my life when I've received Christ as my Savior. I don't understand this terminology you use, saved. Why do you use the word saved? Because the Bible uses it. Save is just getting to the point where you realize that you're lost. Amen. Realizing that there's no hope in and of ourselves, and realizing that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross personally for our sins. And just whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you make that decision to call upon Him and to stop trusting in your church, stop trusting in your religion, stop trusting in your good works, stop trusting in different things, and just trust in Jesus. Amen? And you come to Jesus and you say, God, if you can't save me, I won't be saved. If you're not enough, then nothing will be enough. And you just place your faith and trust in Him. That's what we use the terminology to be saved. And if you're saved by the grace of God, you have the Holy Spirit of God. You have to understand that it is our privilege to shine for Him. Amen? People look at you, you ought to be shining. Have you ever met somebody that you didn't know if they were a Christian, you didn't know if they were a believer or not, but just by the way they carried themselves, you saw that kind of that glow, and you just, I've gone up to people, even people in a grocery store. You might be saying, well, Brother Brian, you say he's a weirdo, but I've gone up, and if I see that in somebody, I'll go up and directly, hey, are you a believer? Amen. You have Christ as your Savior? And boy, about 98% of the time, yes, I do. Amen. Why? Why is that? Amen. I'm keeping track of that. Amen. Amen. Why is that? Because there's something different about the child of God. Amen. Shine your light, brother. Go ahead. Here we go. We got to shine for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hey, wherever you're at, shine for Jesus. People ought to be able to see something different in your life. When I see your pastor, look at the joy he has. He's just like a kid. I love that about your pastor. Amen. You know what? We ought to all be children in the faith. Amen. Why? Because you and I have the eternal security found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Somebody who doesn't have that security, they can't smile. They can't pretend like everything's A-okay when in truth their eternal soul is hanging in the balance. Amen. But when somebody comes to Christ and you say, God, here I am. Use me. I want to shine for you. Realize when that, the first point, when that temptation comes to you, don't look at it like, oh man, temptation, what am I going to do? Understand it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to shine for the Lord. Look at the second thing that we ought to do. If you go with me over to 1 Timothy. No, 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you would. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I bet BJ's got this memorized. Well, I won't put you to the test. Amen. I hate when people do that to me. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Probably got to memorize and don't realize it. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Talking about the second thing you and I ought to do when we are confronted by temptation. Verse 22. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You know what the second thing you and I ought to do when temptation comes? Run from it. Amen. Run from it. Can I tell you what? Sin is not a game. Sometimes we think that we're smarter and that, well, you know, I would give that advice to young people. You ought to run from sin. And I'll give that advice to brother so-and-so and to sister so-and-so. They ought to run from sin. Can I tell you what? Not a one of us is above falling into sin. And you know what? We ought to run and get away. When that moment comes and we find out that we're in a place and that temptation is there, don't linger around it. Amen? A lot of times we think, well, I've got it under control and I can handle this. And I've got a family member of mine. I won't say who it is, amen? But I've got a family member of mine that's struggling with drugs. And this person talks to me sometimes and says, boy, you know, I need prayer. It's not my wife. She won't even ask for help. It's beyond help. But no. Amen. They say, pray for me. And I say, I'll tell you how to get the victory. First of all, get away. Don't be around that stuff. Amen. Whatever it is, you say, well, I don't have a problem with that. Whatever your thing is, get away from it. Amen. Get away from it and find a way to, in place of filling your life and being in a place where you can be under that temptation, physically get away from it. We find that in the Old Testament. Amen. Who was it that ran away? Huh? Joseph ran away. Amen. You remember? Potiphar's wife came there, put in a moment of temptation, and what? He physically ran away from the situation. Can I tell you what? You and I ought to do that too. We ought to understand that in the moment of temptation, it is your testimony that can be killed. He can't take your salvation, amen? He can't take your home in heaven someday, but he can kill your testimony. One moment of sin, and people will look at you differently. One moment of sin and giving in to something that God never sanctioned that we ought not to do. Can I tell you what? It'll kill your testimony. Now God's good and God restores us and God forgives. But the truth is when we destroy our testimony, that destroys how we can be used by God in the future. Now you can, there's pardon in Christ and I'm glad there is. Amen. Many of us have been pardoned among things that we would not even want to mention. Amen. Starting from here all the way back. Things that we never, and I'm not talking about that, but I'm saying that you being a believer and knowing Christ as your Savior, one moment of sin can destroy your testimony. It can destroy your service for the Lord. It can destroy your witness for other people. So you and I ought to run when we find ourselves in those moments of temptation. We'll look at another thing. So first, realize this opportunity. All right? When that temptation comes, realize this opportunity. The second thing is flee. Flee from that temptation. The third thing is we need to rely on God in prayer. We need power to overcome temptation. The power is not found in and of ourselves. I can't turn to Jonathan Bryan and said, well, Jonathan Bryan, you're just going to have to do it. You're just going to have to do right. No. I go to a higher power. Amen. And let's just name that higher power, Jehovah God of the Bible. Amen. I go to him because I don't have any power in and of myself. In and of myself, I'm a big zero. Amen. You are too, just so you know. Amen. But I go to a higher power, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. I go to my Heavenly Father from which comes all power to get that victory. And you and I immediately, listen, in that moment of temptation, ought to run to God. Run to God in prayer. Go with me, if you would, over to Second Chronicles. Second Chronicles chapter 16. We're looking at the third point. Rely on God in power and prayer. So we're looking at Second Chronicles chapter 16. And we'll look at verse number 9, if you would. Second Chronicles 16 and verse number 9. Let's look at the first part of that verse. 9:16. Make sure I'm in the right spot. I am not. 16:9. How does that sound? Did I tell you guys wrong or I said it wrong to myself? Look at verse number 9 of chapter 16. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to shew himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. Just stop right there for a second. You understand they're saying that God is just looking, that his eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart are perfect toward him. Do you understand that God desires to give us the power to overcome temptation? But a lot of times we don't want to overcome temptation. You say, well, pray for me, Brother Brian, that I don't fall into temptation. Most of us don't fall into temptation. We dive in. We know what we're doing. We consciously know what we're doing. And boy, what a shame that even sometimes we get to the point that we know what we're doing, but we know God will forgive us tomorrow. What a shame. Amen? You and I, by the grace of God, I say, God, I don't want to fall into temptation. I don't want to dive into temptation. I want to get that victory. But you and I have to understand from where our source of power comes from. It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. So in that moment of temptation, even though your flesh is trying to tell you to do one thing, even though that temptation is dragging you in one direction, immediately cry out to God. God, help me. And just be honest with them, amen? Sometimes I think we feel like we got to be real spiritual in our prayers, amen? You know what? Peter wasn't very spiritual when he began to sink. Yeah, he didn't say, Heavenly Father, who made the heavens and the earth. He said, Lord, save me. Right? Amen. It might be that you just need to cry out to God and just say, God, you know what my flesh wants to do, but I need your help. Amen. Just be honest with them. And I tell you what, God is just waiting. This verse says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. God desires to help us, but we need to go to him and ask him for help. The most foolish thing that you and I can say in the moment of temptation is, I can handle it. I got it under control. No, you don't. The devil's got you exactly where he wants you. For you to think that you have things under control and to think that you have enough Bible knowledge and you have enough backing and you've got enough intelligence that you would never fall into a sin like that. Watch out. Amen? No, you and I immediately in that moment of temptation say, God, I want to honor you. I want to shine for you. I want to do what's right. But I need your power. I need your help. So the third thing is rely upon God in power. Let's look at another thing. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians, if you would, please. Chapter 10. I'm going to look at two more things. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. To me, this verse helps me probably the most of all because there's a principle here about physically what to do with that temptation that comes your way. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, if you look with me at verse number 5. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The fourth thing that you and I ought to do is you and I need to cast down or reject ungodly thoughts. As soon as that temptation comes into your mind, into your heart, wherever it is, we ought to cast it down. The Bible uses the word perfectly because it's God's word. Amen. Cast it down. It doesn't say take that thought and just lay it down. No. What's the idea behind the word cast? Violently get a hold of that thought and just cast it down. Right? You don't let it roll around in your head. You don't let that temptation just roll around and start to think about it. You know that they say that a lot of people who rob banks begin that idea with just a thought in their head. How would I do it if I was going to do it? Good people who are struggling for money. And the people who are hurting for money. And they say, I'm not going to rob a bank. But if I was going to do it, how would I do it? I bet I'd go early in the morning. Yeah, not a lot of people there. I'd wait till they just open up. But they say that people that rob banks begin just by thinking about it, pondering it, rolling it over in their head. Can I tell you that's the way that sin happens as well? Oh, I would never do this. What if I was going to? That's how I would do it. Hey, The Bible says casting down imaginations. Right? So immediately when that thought comes to your mind, when that wickedness comes to your heart, you ought to pick it up and say, God, I want to do it, but I want to be obedient to you and cast it down. You and I ought to change our thought process right away. Soon as it comes in there, cast it down. Get rid of it. Why? Because the devil can make that thought germinate. He can make it be planted in your heart and begin to grow there. And before you know it, that little plant, that little wicked thought that you had has grown up. And it's no longer a little plant. It's a stalk. And then if you hadn't got it out by then it becomes a tree. And how much easier it is to pull that seed out and cast it down right away than to allow it to germinate. And many of us fall into temptation and we fall into sin because why? Because we allowed one little thought of wickedness to get in. And we didn't get it out. We didn't pluck it up. And when it became a little tiny plant coming up, we didn't get it out. We said, well, you know, I would never do that. Look how small that is. It's just a thought I had one time. And we don't get rid of it. And boy, it grows up into a stalk. And it gets a little bit bigger. And before you know it, it's a tree in our life. The Bible here says that you and I, immediately when that wicked thought comes in, that temptation comes in, pick it up and cast it down. Look at the last thing, if you would. Go with me over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I like practical things, amen. I like things that I can put to work, amen. Sometimes preachers talk in generalities, and it could be a blessing, but I like it real practical. So this is five steps, what you do in a moment of temptation. Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to look at verse number 22, if you would. So you've cast down that thought, amen? Now what? Replace it with something good. Look there, verse number 22, chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversations, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye have put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. It says that you and I, folks, upon casting that wicked thought down, ought to replace it with something godly, something holy, something that's going to fill your heart. You could replace it with Bible verses, memorizing Bible verses, amen? You could replace it with a godly song. You could replace it with a prayer. Say, Lord, that's behind me. I pray, Lord God, that you would give me strength. I pray, Lord God, that you'd give me wisdom. I pray, Lord God, that you would receive all the glory and all the honor for the decision I'm going to make, because I'm turning from that, whatever it is. The temptation that comes in our life, and I finish with this, the temptation that comes in our life is much like, how many of you ever played like a game like maybe go somewhere, whack-a-mole? Have you ever seen that? It's a game where these moles pop up, and you take a hammer and you pop them down. It's an electronic game. Who's seen that before? Amen? Whack-a-mole? Hey, that's exactly how temptation is. Amen? You think you got them all taken care of? Pop. There goes another one. And you pop that one down. Pop. There goes another one. Amen? It's just like it with temptation. Amen? So for you and I to sit back and say, well, I figured it out and I got victory over it. Hey, be careful. Amen? Because you might not be in temptation right now. You may not be in temptation this week, this new week that we're starting. You may not be in temptation next week, but I just about guarantee you that some temptation is going to pop up. And when it pops up, I would just want to encourage you to understand that that's an opportunity to shine for God. Many times we think that we don't have the victory. We say, well, the pastor says we had the victory. And I guess the Bible tells us over there in 1 Corinthians we had the victory. And so the pastor's saying it. The Bible's saying it. But really, I don't feel the victory when I'm at home. I don't feel the victory when I'm around my friends. I don't feel the victory when I'm out doing my own thing. I feel the victory here, but out there I don't feel it. Can I tell you what? The Word of God is just as true in this place as it is out there. It's just you and I need to have that heart to say, God, I don't just want to go and attend church on Sunday and just receive there. I want to put in practice what it is I receive from your word. Temptation will come. I don't know when for you, but it'll come. And it'll come for me as well. Just remember, it's your opportunity to shine for God. Amen. That men might, as the Bible says, see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Bow your head and close your eyes.